We are delighted to have as our guest this morning, Kathy Sitsma. Kathy has spent 40 years as a first grade teacher, 40 years as a teacher, 20 of which has been as a first grade teacher. So I guess she knows a thing or two about how to prepare children for school and what happens when they really don't come to school with the pre-literacy skills they need if their parents have been reading to them. So, Kathy, to start out this morning, one of the things you've mentioned to me as we've talked that you saw children who came to school who were so far behind their peers that it made it difficult for them to ever catch up. And so tell me about that.
Okay, so I
tell our audience about that.
Okay, so as a first grade teacher, you tend to think, well, first grade, this is just the start of their school. You know, they've got everything ahead of them. But what I saw often, not often, but sometimes, was kids who were so far behind their other first grade peers that it was next impossible for them to catch up. Basically, they just didn't have the early literacy skills or the background knowledge that they needed in order to know what we were talking about in school. So I've made it my mission to help stop that and to fix that. And one way is to spread the message to parents about the importance of developing early literacy skills, starting with babies. So one of the things is, as a teacher, I often had parents commenting to me about, oh, we're so glad we had you, Mrs. Sitsma, you're a great teacher. But what they didn't realize is I was only a small part of their child's education, that the most important teacher in their child's life is them. And they started years before I ever had that child walk into my classroom. And that statement can be frightening to parents. It can be a bit overwhelming because it's a big responsibility. But really, it's not that hard to be a great first teacher for your child.
We know that's very important since we know that 50% of a child's ability to learn is developed in the first 4 years of life. So I absolutely agree with you that parents need to understand the importance of themselves as teachers.
Right. But that, you know, I know that as a teacher and as a parent, that's scary. That's a lot of responsibility. So, you know, and what if you don't have training to be a teacher? How can you be that person? And really, it's not that hard. What can a parent do to be a great teacher for their child? The most important thing is talk to your child, starting when they're babies. Talk about whatever you're doing or what you're seeing in the world around them. Act like you're giving them a running commentary, a dialogue of what you're doing as you prepare supper, you do the laundry, you're shopping, you're putting up Christmas decorations or other tasks, taking them away, feeding the pet. Sometimes being at home with an infant, it can be kind of lonely to a parent. So talk to them even though they can't respond to you. You might feel like they are not responding, but really you are interacting with them. As you talk to that baby, the neurons in their brains become engaged, and that helps develop brain activity. But when you're looking at the baby, they can't verbalize that to you, so you may not feel like you're doing anything, but really you are. So talk to your babies and your children as much as you can. Another super important thing is the importance of reading to your child every day, and you just can't emphasize that enough. But parents, you don't need training to be a good reader to your child. My granddaughter has a mother and a grandmother who are both early childhood educators, but her favorite person to read to in her world is her papa, because he adds to the stories as he reads with voices and changes in his tone. So anybody can read to them, just read. And if you don't know the words, just talk about the pictures to them. Another thing you can do is just make books a part of your child's environment. And one thing that you can do by exposing children to books is that that helps build their background knowledge. And as a first grade teacher, that is one of the things that those kids who were struggling, they just did not have the background knowledge that they had. An example is one of my students had no idea what a park was with squirrels or ducks. He did not know any farm animals or the names of those. So when we would take out a book about a farm, it was like I was talking a foreign language to him. So just reading and exposing your child to things that they might not experience in their everyday life is a great thing, and that builds their background knowledge. Another thing about using books is that we're busy. Parents are busy, and things to go to are expensive, like going to the zoo or traveling to the rainforest. We can't do that. But by looking at a book, you can expose your child to all of that. So as you're doing that, the big thing as you're talking with young children is just talk about the pictures and the words so that children are familiar with that concept.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't agree with you more, 100%.
So Kathy, I know you're involved with Baby Read. Well, how did your involvement in Baby Read and also the research that you've read, how did that help you put together some of the pieces of the learning puzzle when you looked at children?
Well, as I looked at that research that was done at Harvard University about brain development in infants, it just put the puzzle pieces together for me about some of those difficult students which I worked with over the years. The language portion of the brain is at the center of the infant's brain. So as a language portion of the brain is stimulated, it makes neuron connections with the other parts of the brain, such as behavioral control, emotions, memory, and motor skills. So when the language portion of the brain in an infant isn't stimulated adequately, then those other areas don't develop, such as self-control and emotions. It's the reason why some of those students who were struggling in school had poor impulse control, and they just have emotional meltdowns. When they do that, so we'd be learning, and they'd just be falling apart because it was too hard. And that would just escalate things and make everything worse for the child as they tried to learn. Then the child might get labeled as a behavior problem, and once that happened, things just spiral downward. So I just can't stress the importance of stimulating the language portion in your infant's brain to help the child develop behavioral and emotional control. And when a child has behavior and emotional control, it makes life so much easier at school and also at home for the parents. It's an easy thing to do.
Another thing that I was thinking about was a point that you made when we talked earlier about how if a child does not develop pre-literacy skills by his parents or whoever's the caretaker reading to him prior to school, and they come unprepared to school, then they really struggle in school rather than experiencing success. So would you comment on that, what you found?
Okay, well, it was really heartbreaking to see for some students, and I taught kindergarten sometimes too, so kindergarten, first graders, kids who were, the school experience was so new for them, this was their first time, instead of it being a positive thing, they were just overwhelmed. They didn't have the skills to do what the other kids were doing. They felt it inside. Their self-concept went down. They felt like a failure right from the start. And if you don't feel good about something, you don't like it. So you would see kids who at a very early age were getting negative impressions about school and thought that they were not going to be able to be successful. And when you think of a child in kindergarten or first grade, how many years ahead of school they have, the fact that they're thinking already at such a young age that they can't do it. And think of us as adults. If there's something that's hard for you, we try to avoid it. And it's the same with young children.
I just want to add to that. I was at one of the elementary schools in Oconee County. This is in the last year or so. And I was waiting for the school to open up. It was for an event. And I was sitting next to a family that had a small child who was sitting next to me. She was about 8. And had an older child, a 10-year-old. And so I started talking to the younger child, found out that she was going to the second grade. And I said to her, "Are you looking forward to going to school?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "Because I don't know how to read." And I said, "Did you ask your first grade teacher to help you?" And she said, "Yes." So I said, "Well," I said, "you have to try again and ask your second grade teacher to help you as well." Now, obviously, I sent an email to the principal and told her about it. But the point I'm trying to make is that, number one, as Kathy pointed out, from her experiences, 40 years of experience as a teacher, if a child does not know how to read and doesn't have pre-literacy skills and has to struggle, rather than reading for most children, I'm not saying for every children, there are children who have disabilities, but for most children it should be a breeze. So if they don't, then instead of experience success, they experience failure. But the other point I really want to make is that the schools only have limited resources. They can only help so many children who are struggling to learn how to read. So you do not want your child to be a problem child for the school. The schools are doing the very best they can, and they have fabulous teachers and tremendous resources. But just remember that the most important thing is for you to really do your job as a parent and to read to your child before he or she comes to school so that they are prepared for kindergarten.
Karen, one thing that I noticed in working with students and, you know, the ones who are struggling too, all parents want the best for their child.
I was going to say the exact same thing, Kathy. That's
yeah, they do. They want it and they're willing to help.
Exactly.
But they just don't know what to do.
Exactly.
And I'll be honest, in all my years of training and education and everything, until I started working with Baby Read, you know, I had heard that it was important to work on language developments with babies, but I didn't realize how important. So I think the missing thing is getting that message out there to people. Start talking to your babies and read to your babies.
I agree 100%. I think a lot of parents have the misunderstanding that if they can't talk back to you, that why should they be talking to them? And what parents have to understand is there's the expressive language, which is the talking, but there's the receptive language that develops prior to that. So what children see, what they hear, what they listen to, what is modeled for them lays a solid foundation for their success later on.
Absolutely. So, Kathy, do you have anything more to say, or should
we close
up? I
guess the takeaway message that I would give to parents, and not just parents, but other adults who interact with young children, is starting with babies to talk continually with them and read to them to help develop that language portion of their brain, because that will help lead to success in school, which in turn leads to success in other life skills.
And let me say that if you do not have books in your home to read to your child, call me at, this is Karen, call me at 864-643-8083. I am happy to give you books. You should not be reading to your child because you lack books at home or where your child is going to daycare to read to your child. So I think we're ending up.